From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in the Book of Acts as he commences a message entitled, The Reaction of the Church to the Hypocrisy of Ananias and Sapphira. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, He Will Carry Us Home. The text is found in Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 4. And even to your old age I am He, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. The year is very old, and here is a promise for our aged friends, yes, and for us all as age creeps over us. Let us live long enough, and we shall all have hoar hairs. Therefore, we may as well enjoy this promise by the foresight of faith. When we grow old, our God will still be the I Am, abiding evermore the same. Hoar hairs tell of our decay, but He decayeth not. When we cannot carry a burden, and can hardly carry ourselves, the Lord will carry us. Even as in our young days He carried us like lambs in His bosom, so will He in our years of infirmity. He made us, and He will care for us. When we become a burden to our friends and a burden to ourselves, the Lord will not shake us off, but rather He will take us up and carry and deliver us more fully than ever. In many cases, the Lord gives His servants a long and calm evening. They worked hard all day and wore themselves out in their Master's service. And so He said to them, Now rest in anticipation of that eternal Sabbath which I have prepared for you. Let us not dread old age. Let us grow old graciously, since the Lord Himself is with us in fullness of grace. Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. The first 11 verses of Acts chapter 5 record the first instance of discipline in the New Testament church. Although Ananias and Sapphira tried to deceive Peter about giving all of the proceeds of the sale of their property to the church, their lie was known immediately, and God struck them dead. The remainder of chapter 5 details the results of that judgment. The passage declares that great fear came upon the church. Because of that, a number of consequences followed. First of all, that fear produced purity within the church. The believers experienced a remarkable unity among themselves, and their fervency in prayer increased. In addition, we'll see that the believers were more determined than ever to take a strong stand for Christ. Now Dr. Cairns brings the opening portion of a message entitled, The Reaction of the Church to the Hypocrisy of Ananias and Sapphira.
We're turning to the fifth chapter of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 5, verse 11. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them. But the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors, and brought them forth, and said, Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, The prison truly find we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now, when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, and for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. We finish the reading at verse 32, and the Lord will add his own blessing to this portion from his word for his name's sake. You may remember from last Lord's Day that the opening section of Acts chapter 5 deals with the incident of Ananias and Sapphira, their hypocrisy, and their sudden dispatch, how the Lord in judgment moved upon them and brought first Ananias and then Sapphira quickly down to death. Now, in the passage before us this morning, we have the results of that event. The judgment of the sin of Ananias and Sapphira not only put a very swift end to that particular attack of the devil on the early church, but if you read the passage carefully, you will find that it set in motion a whole chain of reactions. First of all, you will find that it strengthened the church. That in turn provoked the enemies of the church to a fresh persecution. And the persecution in turn strengthened the church all over again. So that this chain of reaction is set into motion by the death of Ananias and Sapphira. Now, although we have quite a few verses before us this morning, we can sum up the reactions and results of the event of Ananias and Sapphira's death under a few different headings. We're going to be as quick as possible through the most of them, for time only permits us really to list them. Verse 11 and verse 12 show us the first result This is the result in the church. And it is the result of purity. Notice carefully that great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. The first result in the church of Jesus Christ, following Ananias' hypocrisy and death, was fear. The people of God were gripped with a godly and a reverential fear. They were very careful now. They themselves were making sure to walk circumspectly. Each man was examining his own heart. He was careful not merely to pay lip service to the things of God. He was careful that this bitter hypocrisy, which had shown itself in Ananias and Sapphira, should have no place in his heart. So the first thing that marked the people of God then was a godly fear. My, it is a tragic and a sad thing when it can be said not only of the world, but even of the church of Jesus Christ, that there is no fear of God before their eyes. We are a foolish people indeed if we know nothing of the fear of God. For the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge, and it is the beginning of wisdom. There can be no holiness without the fear of the Lord, for the fear of the Lord is clean. The fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. And if we do not fear the Lord, then we will not be morally and spiritually pure as we ought to be. This is a great motivation to holiness in the life of the believer. This fear of the Lord presupposes a vision of the Lord's moral attributes, as they're so often called. I hesitate to use the term, but when you come to describe the attributes of God, all theological terms are deficient. And so, while the term is deficient, I think it will suit us to say what we want to say this morning. When you think of the holiness of God, when you get a vision of God's own essential and inherent purity, you yourself will be motivated to holiness. When a man lives with his eyes upon the Lord, when a man sees God with the eye of faith, that man will be led to holiness. And that's what happened here. These people had seen a striking demonstration of the holiness of God. How often we have had to remark on that in our various Bible readings and Bible studies over the past lot of months. That everything by way of revival and purification and blessing in the church can always be tied in with a knowledge of the holiness of God. So there was fear among the people. You will notice that there was unity among the people. These are the marks of a purified church. There was unity among the people. Now, it wasn't a dead unanimity. It wasn't merely a nice, cozy spirit where everybody gathered together with a happy look in their face and a happy song on their lips and saying, now let's all get together and enjoy ourselves. That's not the unity of the Church of Christ. Their unity was a unity of fear. Each man feared the Lord. And therefore, fearing the Lord, each man sold out to God. The thought here is that they were making sure that there wasn't one more Ananias and there wasn't one more Sapphira. Therefore, in their fear, they became united to serve the Lord Christ. Why, that's the kind of unity, that active, vital unity that we ought to have among us in the church today. And I believe there is also the thought of prayer for. We read that they were not only with one accord, but I think wherever you read that in the book of Acts, it is never far removed from prayer. In Acts chapter 1, we find them with one accord, and they were praying. In Acts chapter 2, we find them with one accord, and they were praying. In Acts chapter 4, we find them with one accord, and they were praying. And here again, when we find them with one accord, I think the thought undergirding it is the thought that they were gathered together with one accord in God's presence. They were a people continually marked by prayer. Now that is a pure church. A pure church is not just a church that's outside the apostasy. A pure church is not just a church that doesn't touch the ecumenical movement. A pure church is not just a church that holds on to the great doctrinal fundamentals. A pure church is not just a church that lifts its voice against the iniquitous things that are going on in this day. Now, a pure church will do all those things and will have all those things true about it. But a pure church is a church with a vision of God's holiness. It's a church that has a godly fear. It is a church that is bound together in the bonds of Calvary love. It is a church that is united in consecration to God. It is a church that is marked by continual unity in the place of prayer. Give us a church like that, and we have a church like the early church. But anything short of that is not a church after this early church pattern. So we notice the first reaction and result to Ananias and Sapphira and their death was purity. Now there's a good word to use to sum up the second part of verse 12, and it's their pertinacity. Now I use that word deliberately because we read they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. I say it's a good word because that word has in it the thought of insistence and persistence. Hasn't it the thought of a tenacity of purpose? People who had got a grip of something and they were not willing to let it go. The thought is that they were unyielding in their pursuits and in their designs. Now I say that's a good word to describe these people. Where did we find them? We find them now in Solomon's porch. Now go back a little to chapter 4 and verse 1, and you'll find that is the very place where Peter and John had originally been arrested because of their healing of the lame man and their preaching to the people. It was in Solomon's porch where the people were thronging together that Peter and John were arrested. Now, where do these people go? To pray, to sing praises, to preach, to stand up and witness. Where do they go? They go to the very place where their leaders had been molested and arrested. They go to the very hotbed of opposition. You see, what they are saying here is, we have learned from the events surrounding Ananias and Sapphira, we have learned through their sudden death of the brevity of life and the folly of sin and the importance of being faithful to God. And we are going to be unyielding in our determination to go through with God. We are going to be tenacious in our purpose to stand up for Jesus Christ. Now it may not be popular. It may not be the thing to do as far as the authorities are concerned. It may lead us to suffering. It may lead us into prison. But, said these people, we are going to go right into the lion's den, as it were. And we're going to stand up for Jesus Christ, no matter what the cost may be. I say that word then, pertinacity, is a good word to describe those people. I would like to think that the God of heaven would come down and give us a bit of backbone like these people. That the God of heaven would nerve us for the battle. Of course, the trouble nowadays is, it's not going to be afflicting us, I think, for too much longer. As soon as we get blessed of God in a great way, it's going to change. But the trouble with the Church of Christ in the Western world, largely speaking nowadays, is there isn't too much of a battle. There isn't too much opposition. And we don't have to pay a very heavy price. But as soon as we get blessed, as these people were blessed, then the battle will rage. And it's my prayer that God will give us men of backbone. Men like the three who are called the three Hebrew children who were thrown into the fiery furnace. Men who wouldn't bow. Men who wouldn't bend. Men who wouldn't break. Men who wouldn't even burn. We want to have men who will not in any way give in to the devil and his crew. Of course, if we're going to stand for God in a public battle, we're going to have to know what it is to stand for God first in the secret battle with the devil. An awful lot of Christians imagine that it would be great to stand up in a day of adversity and bear a burning testimony for Christ. Tell me, how do you expect to stand against the devil in a public capacity if you can't stand against him when he tempts you not to pray, when he tempts you to give up in the secret place, when the devil would resist you doing your duty as an individual believer, and you succumb to that attack of the devil? How on earth do you think you're going to stand in the day of mighty public conflict? Oh, may the Lord give us pertinacity. May He give us an unyielding attitude in these things of God, that we will be standing when the Lord tells us to stand.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening, and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.